Okay, that was awesome, by the way. It is 7:02. I call the meeting to order of the regular meeting of the school board, Monday, June 10th, 2019. The roll, please, Mrs. Ratchford.
Mrs. Barker?
Here.
Mr. Bryant?
Here.
Mrs. Fairfree?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mrs. McCabe?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Ms. Wyble?
Here. Can we stand for the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you so much for everyone for coming tonight. I love that we have a full and stacked house. It's awesome. We're going to roll into citizens' comments. First, Madam Secretary, while you collect yourself, sorry, can you please read our statement? Thank you.
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting, subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit the public comment to 3 minutes per speaker, to a total of 30 minutes at the beginning of the meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Barker. Our first speaker today is Colleen Weiss. Sorry, what is it? Visa. Visa. Uh-huh. Thank you very much. We welcome you to the board meeting today.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. Well, I'm Colleen Visa, and I live in the Lincoln community. I just was up here because I listened to the business services meeting from last week, I think it was last week, and heard some citizen comments at the end that just kind of perked my interest. So I just wanted to come up here and just say that, and it was regarding putting the playground equipment on hold that Lincoln and Wasco are both slated to have. So I understand that there's still some probably lingering resentment and bitterness from the decision last year. I completely understand that and empathize with that. But Lincoln wasn't closed. It's not slated for closure. My understanding from Dr. Pearson and the administration is that the decisions the board made set us on a path for at least 5 years, maybe 5 to 7 years. So I get it was just, citizens' comments. But, you know, Lincoln is open. It's a viable school on our east side, one of only three remaining elementary schools on our east side. And I really appreciate that the Park District and the administration have decided to upgrade the playground equipment. I know the staff and the students and the community are really excited about that. So I'm thankful for that. I don't think that the students and the community and the parents should be held hostage and have this continually come up when there's really no reason for it to come up. We have a plan. It's in place. So I just wanted to kind of state that and get it on the record and just like give the board something to think about. I completely understand that as professionals, we all come to these decisions with a bias. We have personal and professional decisions that we make. We all have a personal bias. I do. We all do. We're human. I would just hope that in the era of transparency that I know many of our new board members campaigned on, that everyone will think about these biases and kind of keep them in check as you make decisions like this or contemplate having these kinds of conversations in public or entertain these conversations in public. And that's all I ask. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. We really appreciate you speaking today. All right, our second speaker today is David Dietz.
First of all, I'd like to thank all of the school board members for your service. I realize you take your time to contemplate these difficult issues. And I know that I wasn't much a part of the great campaign to save Lincoln, although my wife was. But I'm ready to step up if there's another campaign. But I think there's no need to go back into the grief and et cetera of that. I think as my wife helpfully made notes for me, I think it was a campaign that I'd like to thank anyone here who was supportive of that campaign, because I think it was handled with the utmost civility. And if anyone is trying to redredge things, I think the Lincoln parents and the Lincoln community showed itself to have a real grace. And I just wanted to state that for the record. So anybody new to the board, welcome to the Lincoln neighborhood. And we will always be polite and proactive and advocate. So my wife made a few good points, and I'm tired from working and tired from working after work. So my biggest point and what makes me upset is that I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old who both go to Lincoln, and they were asked to pick out the colors of the playground. There's a great spirit and heart. It's not a building of brick and mortar. And I haven't spoken at any of these things, so my apologies to anyone whose feathers are ruffled. So I'm plenty happy to come to all the meetings in the future, though, if this is relitigated. And I'm not someone who's afraid of relitigating something. So I just want to say that, and I don't want to put it in an uncivil way because I'm not part of the big Lincoln Coalition. I'm just sort of myself with two kids that go there. So I don't like the fact that my kids have been told to pick out colors of a playground that's not going to be updated, if that's the case. So the other things are the school grounds are small, and we need better play structures. There aren't very nice amenities. And also, to dovetail on the points of the previous commenter, can we please move forward and be proactive with plans that make Lincoln School a better place and experience it at recess? This body voted to keep Lincoln open. I don't think there's a need to go back to the past. And if these funds have been set up, these plans, whoever made the plans, all that work, I don't think it needs to be relitigated. And with that, I thank you all again for your service. And I realize in our democratic society, we get this great opportunity to talk to everyone. And I would hope that we could take a little 5 to 7 year layoff from this and just improve the school because it's a terrific school. So we don't need another debate based on some negativity from a lingering thing that the Lincoln people, I know, we're all very civil and very great and awesome. So thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much for speaking. Okay, we just had two speakers today, so we are going to roll into superintendent report. Dr. Pearson.
Well, good evening. As you know, we ended the school year last Friday very successfully, and thank you to many of our staff members who are here represented in the room this evening, and to the board for a successful school year. Just some interesting information. We started the year with 12,012 students. We ended the year with 11,996 students, so we had a slight drop in enrollment through the course of the year. Interestingly enough, the projections that we've been using, we were projected to end the year at 11,980 students. So we were within about 20 students of our projections, which I think continue to speak to the accuracy of the information that we've been able to provide the board about kind of our enrollment trends across the district. As many of you know, this has been a very successful year for our sports teams, and over this past weekend, we had two of our teams that participated in state finals. Both our girls softball team from East High School finished second in state, and then our boys baseball team from North High School finished second in the state. Interestingly enough, they both went into extra innings. They were very exciting games. I was able to go to the North game on Saturday afternoon. Mr. Baird was able to represent our team at the East game, and several other district administrators and staff were in attendance, and it was really a great time for our community and for our students. So we look forward to having the opportunity to recognize those students at a future board meeting, as is our tradition. We also had our girls lacrosse team a couple of weeks ago finish fourth at state. They are a co-op team between both of our high schools, so that was a very exciting accomplishment as well. I also wanted to just mention thank you to the board members for attending our graduation ceremonies on the 2nd of June. We actually graduated 1,104 students in total. So North had 520 and East High School had 584 students. Not to waste any time, although we finished school on Friday, our staff members started professional learning today. We have professional learning all summer long in the district for our staff. Our staff continue to find great interest in our professional learning opportunities. This summer, we are offering 29 different courses, and there are 671 staff members that have enrolled in at least one course. Many of our educators take more than one. Of course, during the summer, they just really are interested in engaging. I would like to invite the board members that are interested to come join us one day. If you just happen to be available, we can certainly go over and see some of the professional learning that's happening in the district. I would love to be able to take you on a tour of some of those opportunities. Just some of the things that our staff members are learning about this summer. We continue to offer courses in special education. We have technology courses, social and emotional learning, instructional strategies, and then of course social studies, math, and English language arts, as well as some assessment courses. So that's just some highlights of some of the things that are going on in the district. Thank you, Ms. Weibel.
Well, thank you so much for that update. As we have done in the past, I do want to go around the table for a little bit of a district share. Before I do that, I just wanted to remind everyone at the table that the calendars will be updated for not only the upcoming board meetings for 2019-2020, but also for our committee meetings for 2019-2020. And then also there was an email sent out about some upcoming dates for our two retreats and the Thompson opening. Or what are we calling it?
It's open house.
Open house. That's coming up here in August as well. So just be on the lookout for all that to come out. Everything will be updated soon if it's not already on the website. Is it on the website? It is on the website. Okay. So that's all very important to put all that in your calendar. So we've been doing district share, which is great. It's kind of something that we've talked about going around and talking about what we've been doing. And May was a very, very busy month for all of us. So I don't know who wants to jump in and start, but there was plenty going on. We had a preschool thing that Mrs. Barker went to. We had night school graduation. We had regular graduation. We had incubator, the final incubator evening, which was awesome. So I'm going to give you the floor. So jump on in.
Well, I went to the incubator, took my grandson, who went home and decided that's his life now. It was amazing, just so amazing what our kids are able to do. It's Shark Tank is a big production, and I was way impressed. So I got to experience that. I did get to go to the night graduation, which is a pretty powerful experience. We had one student who graduated and turned her life around because of the people that she had had in her life from our district. So that was really pretty cool. So that I did go to Wasco for their field day. But it was sunny and shiny, but the grass was too wet, so I didn't get to see field day.
Thank you, Mrs. McCabe. And I wanted to mention we also had a Lincoln event in there, too. So anyone else want to share?
So I was part of that Lincoln event. I was invited to do a flash read in the morning, which is something I didn't know about. It was pretty cool. They bring you in for, like, the last 10 minutes. And then they assign you a class. You get to pick the book you want to read, and it's kind of cool. The kids were all excited. They thought I was famous because I was on the board, so that was exciting. So that might be my moment of fame, but I'll take it. So that was pretty exciting. And then in the evening, I attended the 90th birthday celebration, which was put on, and it was just a wonderful event, and just to see the community and everyone there and laughing, having a good time, eating some good food and getting their face painted and all kinds of things like that. And then the other thing I did was I attended the union-sponsored Cougars game. I think it's a great event that the unions, all three of the unions, put on at the end of the year for teachers, faculty, staff, administrators, board members. Just kind of a nice little, beautiful night for a game. We didn't stay too long, but it was a great event and it was well enjoyed. So, That's it.
Great. Who wants to jump in?
I will jump in. So I went to the early childhood parent council meeting. I didn't get to go to the one that was earlier in the year because of there was, you know, the polar vortex, and then they rescheduled. But I did get to go to the second one in the spring. And I will say it was really nice to see that they were including parents in that particular school into early childhood. It was well organized, and I got to meet other parents that were there, and I worked with a group that was selecting social and emotional texts to send home with kids. And it was a lot of fun to kind of go through that and talk about the books that we read to our kids that we had that social emotional learning component to it, and what, you know, things we could put in like a book bag to send home. So I was really impressed on how well organized it was. And then also, I attended the Lincoln's 90th birthday party. I did eat some really good food there, and I did not get my face painted, but I did wait in line with my four-year-old, so it was a lot of fun, lots of kids running around and having a great time. And then also, I did something else. Oh, I went to Munn Hall, the fifth grade celebration. And I thought that was actually, I was done very well. It was great. I've been to a fifth grade celebrations before, and I thought that the traditions that were at Munn Hall were really sweet and endearing. It was well performed, so I was impressed.
I was going to say, I saw several of your faces also at Honors Nights for both North and East.
Did that too.
So thank you for that. And so that's a great celebration for our seniors, just to see how many seniors are awarded scholarship, what their accomplishments are. It's really remarkable to see what they've accomplished in a very busy year of academic achievement as well. So that's exciting. And then, of course, we were at graduation, so I don't know if any of you want to pipe in about that as well. Gentlemen.
I'll jump in with graduation. It was an awesome day, just being up on stage, looking at the kids' faces as they were walking across. I noticed two types of looks: either "Wow, this is amazing, I did it," or "Wow, what do I have to do next?" And both were, you know, as a high school teacher myself, you know, you work so hard, and our staff here, they work so hard to get those kids to that point, and then it's that light at the end of the tunnel, like, wow, I did it, and we all did it. So it was a good day all around. So
would you like to say thank you very much? Would you like to say anything, Mr.
Graduation went off very well. I thought both schools, everything was very smooth. Everything went perfectly as planned. The other thing I did want to mention, and I was not in attendance because unfortunately this apparently happened at Disney World, but I noticed on Facebook all over the place. I love to hear it when I'm here and people call me and tell me, hey, you better get out to the parade because the Proviso Band is there where I teach. I'm getting people sending me emails and texts telling me, hey, the St. Charles East Band is marching in the middle of Disney World. And I'm seeing videos, so I reposted it myself. So that was pretty cool to see. So other than that, I was just wrapping up my own school year. So, and as teachers know, it's a busy time. So
I was going to say, this board has made a great effort, so don't sell yourself short, to be everywhere they possibly can in the month of May and unfortunately the beginning of June, as this year turned out. So it's a very busy time, so I really appreciate all your efforts. It just shows kind of the culture we're creating, and the one thing I wanted to highlight is I went to Bob Graham's memorial service this weekend. So Bob Graham was my principal for first through fifth. I moved here in first grade. And it was a sad event, of course, because we would want Bob to be here forever. But what was a great testament was the discussions about how kind he was, how kid-centered he was, how much he cared about putting kids first, putting kids' education first, their well-being, and kind of the cornerstone that he built for this district in the four decades that he served it. Sorry, I'm going to try not to get choked up. But What it really showed me is that that's really the cornerstone of what this board and administration is working to build on, and how what kind of our goals are. And it really made me focus about how proud I am of what we're talking about in the last just couple months as this new board with this administration as our partnership. So I know he would be proud of what we want to accomplish and what this administration is accomplishing of putting kids first and being kind and being respectful with our different stakeholder groups and trying to achieve that in partnership with people, because that's really what he strived to do. And you know, he accomplished a lot. So it just kind of came full circle. And he was he gave a lot to the district. So I got through that. So anyhow, so I just wanted to share that with this board as well. So thank you so much for sharing all the things that you were able to attend and for engrossing your lives and intertwining your lives with the district. I think it just says a lot about who you all are. So thank you for that. All right, so let's move on to committee reports. So you guys want to toss up. So I don't, you want to go first, Mr. McNally? Okay. So we're
Learning and teaching is going to be a little bit long, but mostly there's some names in here I want to make sure.
Okay.
So we met on May 20th, and we started out with our, as we always do, welcome celebrations, recognitions. So we had Emma Santos, a sophomore at East High School, was chosen to participate in Fermilab's internship program from June 24th through August 2nd this summer. Emma was present to answer questions about her opportunity. And we had five District 303, fourth and fifth graders, were present to show their medals earned at Noetic Learning Math Contest. They attended on April 18th. Each of the five students received 100% in the contest, which was pretty impressive. The competition encourages students' interest and skills in math. The students were Thomas Howell from Wasco Elementary, Kieran Edwards from Wasco, Devin Shigarapati from Belgram, Arian Shah from Belgram, and Adler Kohler from Richmond. Fourth grade team from Belgram and Elementary and the fifth grade team from Richmond Intermediate also earned team achievement awards for their high team scores. Excuse me. The next item up was the For Information Multi-Tiered Systems of Support Update. MTSS committee was formed in District 303 in September of 2017. Early implementation sites were in 2018-19. Ferson Creek, Munn Hall, Redling, and North High School. Multi-tiered system support is a framework which provides all students the best opportunity to succeed academically, socially, and behaviorally in schools. Tier 1 supports most students, at least 80%. Tier 2 supports some, from 15 to 20. And Tier 3 provides intensive support for a few students, from 1 to 5%. MTSS supports include high-quality core instruction, interventions, enrichment opportunities, personalized educational experiences, and addressing individual student needs. MTSS includes all stakeholders, building leadership team, professional learning communities, data team, and student support team. Assessments that support the monitoring progress are universal screenings, are FastBridge, early literacy and numeracy from K through 2, performance series, literacy and math 3 through 7, and PSAT grades 8 and 9. Social and emotional behavior rating scale for all K through 12. The diagnostic measures, common formative and summative assessments, Fontes and Pinnell, words their way, and on-demand writing for K through 5, performance series, literacy and math 3 through 8. Social Skills Improvement System, K through 5, and the MTSS structure is designed to define what the problem is, why it is occurring, what we're going to do about it, and evaluate whether or not what we are doing is working. The expectations for 2019-20 school year, a board presentation and recommendation of intervention resources, engaging in the stakeholder groups, development and implementation of professional learning plan, district level data analysis, mid-year update to be provided to the L&D community. Discovery Education Renewal was next up, and professional learning was offered from during 2018-19 on 7 days based upon individual and PLC needs. Usage data was reviewed for 2018 and 19, and student feedback was reviewed. The renewal cost for this was $21,048, and there is no action required on this one. For discussion, we had the annual Read 180 and System 44 hosting renewal. Read 180 student usage data was reviewed. System 44 student usage data was reviewed. And again, this was an annual renewal. $15,600 is the budget impact, and that's on the consent agenda. And next up was elementary book room needs assessments. The goal was to provide equitable access to resource for teachers and students in all elementary schools across District 303. Collaborative effort in involving the student stakeholders, the following stakeholders: Custom Education Solutions, District 303 Reading Specialists, District 303 Instructional Support Coaches, District 303 Principals, ELA and Social Study Teachers on Special Assignment, and Director of Curriculum. The quality components were reviewed, management components were reviewed, and recommendations were literacy footprints K through 5-6, literacy footprints partner in the classroom, and Fontes and Pinnell. The book room total costs were $128,855, and that is on for consent tonight. And the Title I school waiver for Anderson Elementary was next up. Title I funding is used to supplement instructional services and activities in order to improve the educational opportunities of educationally disadvantaged or deprived children. Since Anderson Elementary's low-income students percentage is 29.19, it does not automatically qualify for school-wide use of Title I funds without a waiver. And so that is on for consent tonight for requesting that waiver. Consolidated district plan was next up. New plan is required for the 2019-20 school year, replaces the previous requirement of a Title I plan, and consolidates the plan for use of the following grants: Title I delinquent, that's funds for neglected and delinquent children and youth in local and state institutions within our school and district boundaries. Title I Part A, funds to provide all children high quality education and to close the achievement gaps. Title II Part A, funds to increase student achievement by elevating teacher quality. Title III, funds to help English language learners. Title IV, funds for student support and academic enrichment. And IDEA Part B flow through, funds that flow through District 303 to provide public education to children with disabilities aged 3 through 21. IDEA Part B preschool funds that support students with disabilities aged 3 to 5, and that is on for consent. Our next meeting will be, sorry, that was a long one. Next meeting will be next Monday, June 17th at 5:30, and the items, potential items for the for discussion are learner-centered spaces and StreamLab update, policies related to learning and teaching, literacy materials for Anderson, elevation, EL data, management systems, and committee dates for the 2019 and 2020 school year.
Perfect. Thank you. Good job. All right. Mr. Mannheim.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to kind of breeze through things because all of us were there, and we just met last Monday. We let off. We had three.
For business services, just to clarify.
Yes, business services. We had three citizens' comments. Michelle Castile talked about board request. Bobby Rail talked about facility study. And Zach Kuchenko talked about the Haynes repurposes. And then, as always, we led off with the Mid-Valley financial report and then the D303 financial report, which are both on for information tonight, as always. Our next item, Dr. Byrne brought us the renewal for the Uncharted Learning, the incubator. We discussed that, and that's on for consent tonight. Our next item was the Fast Bridge progress monitoring and screening tool, on for consent. Annual COGAT testing, on for consent. Local assessment for 2019, on for consent. And then the measured progress formative content bank, that's on for consent. Next, Dr. Chapman gave us a kind of an information slideshow based on the site-based reporting and how the state's going to use that to determine our funding, which then segued into our review of the first draft of the D303 budget for 1920. Then our next item was the review of the first draft for the Mid-Valley special education. Next item on for consent is a review of the copy paper bids. Once again, we went out for bid as we do every year, and we came in under bid compared to the state bid. The next item, the driver education waiver process, that we'll have a public hearing for that. We talked about business service dates. We are moving them to Monday nights in the future. We are finalizing the dates to make sure that they work with all the other schedules, but those will be on Mondays, and those will be posted on the district website. They'll continue to stay at 5:30 as well. Next item, Dr. Chapman talked to us about the PTAB update. We'll be taking action on that tonight. That is something we work with intergovernmental, with the city, the park district, library, everyone. When commercials try to lower their taxes, we have a joint effort to take action against that. Next item is our playground and maintenance agreement between D303 and St. Charles Park District, and that's on for consent tonight. The next item is the intergovernmental agreement from the Park District and D303, and that is pertaining to some Wi-Fi that they would like to borrow from us. Software renewals, there was a packet Mr. Smith brought to us that is on for consent tonight. Chromebook replacement, part of our three-year program where we replace those units, as well as desktop replacement, on for consent. Mr. Baird presented our annual existing safety hazards, which we always review every year at Business Services, and they're on for consent. Next item, review of bids for the LRC Stream Furniture, and that is on for consent. Our next two items they're presented together, but they're on for action, and that is the Lincoln and Wasco Elementary playground equipment. And I will highlight that we have an excellent relationship with the Park District, and we continue to do this, that they cost share all of the equipment that's within Park District boundaries. So you'll see that Wasco does cost more, but that is because it's not within the Park District boundaries. Item W, award of summer contract for interior bus cleaning. So that's kind of an end of the year. Mr. Baird said is the all detail kind of clean it up. But he emphasized that buses are cleaned all the time. So our next item, Mr. Baird and Dr. Chapman brought to us electricity request to go out and get quotes for that. And the committee agreed to allow the administration to proceed with obtaining quotes that they'll bring back to us at a later date. Mr. Lamp gave us an update on Thompson, and everything continues to progress and be on schedule for the beginning of the school year, even with all the rain we've had. So it's good. Item Z was policy 415, facility management and building program. There was just some press updates that we did, and that is on for consent. Our next item was the facility master plan. Mr. Baird, Dr. Chapman talked to the committee about developing a master plan, what it might look like, what we would like to see from that, the time process, the cost associated with that, and they're going to work on bringing some more information back to business services as they get that. Then our last item was the Haynes repurpose discussion. We continue to discuss what to do with Haynes. We heard that the library now has some interest in leasing some space from us. And then as part of that, on action tonight, we will be voting on a design work agreement with ATSNR, and I want to emphasize that it's for design development only. It does not commit the board to any construction or anything else. This is just design development. It's to look at what the spaces could look like for the library use, park district use, school use, and I think it's a valuable tool that will be used to help the board make a decision on what to do with Haynes in the future. And our next meeting is July 29th, and we will have our final draft of the budget, as well as Mid-Valley's budget, and then we will talk about more of the scheduling of the budgets that they'll be placed on public display, and then we'll continue our discussion on Haynes. And we got, oh, we had assistance comment. Danielle Penman talked about the Lincoln Playground and Haynes repurpose. And we got out very late, 8:20.
We did. Thank you very much, Mr. Manheim.
Thank you.
Okay, we also had a very long community relations meeting on May 28th. We talked about, we highlighted some students. Dylan Cabrera from St. Charles North was our Scholastic Award gold medalist. And we highlighted Evan Boyle and Levi Boyle from Lincoln Elementary for their Metra safety posters and essay contests, and Ksenia Kapkanova from Thompson. We also highlighted our two student liaisons and celebrated their 2 years with us, Sam Stippage from St. Charles East and Anna Miller from St. Charles North. So that was exciting, and they're both graduating, and we wish them well on their future endeavors. They introduced the new liaisons, Haranshu Shah for North and Hannah Livermore for East. So we talked about the reconfiguration of the Community Relations Committee, and the board decided that they wanted to move ahead with the Community Advisory Board concept, which would include board members, students, parents, community at large members, teacher, staff, business partners, who am I forgetting, etc. So I think that was a good chunk of it. It says etc. I'm trying to think of what other groups we had in there. But it would be a representation of all of the stakeholders. And so it would take some time to create. And Mrs. McCabe and Mrs. Barker are going to pull together some ideas and concepts and bring that back to the board this summer. And so we're going to then go from there, and then there'll be an application process for the fall. So that's exciting. We're looking forward to have a stakeholder and a group and kind of see where that takes us. So we also created a subcommittee for superintendent evaluation and goals that consists of Mr. Bryant and Mrs. Fairgrieve, and they'll work very closely with Dr. Pearson and what his evaluation and goals will be moving forward. And then we talked about our board goals more, and we're still working on those. That's a work in progress. And we'll talk about that more on Wednesday when we have our board retreat. Then we spoke about board committee chair assignments, so that was exciting. Business services is Mr. Manheim and Mrs. Fairgrieve, and that is a continuation from last year, so thank you so much for that commitment. And learning and teaching is Mr. McNally and Mrs. Barker, thus the different seating arrangements. I don't know if we'll keep it, though. And so thank you for that commitment. And Mrs. McCabe is going to eventually kind of steer that committee, the stakeholder advisory committee. So thank you for committing to that. And Mr. Bryant is going to chair the policy committee. Then we talked about many other community committees that we could sit and kind of learn from, sit in on and either be a liaison or sit in and listen and learn, actively listen and learn. So we did some assignments there, and Mrs. McCabe volunteered for the DPTO. Mr. Manheim is going to continue sitting in on the safety committee. In the minutes, it says that Mr. Bryant is going to do housing, but they actually switched, so now it will be Mr. McNally doing housing commission with the city. Thank you for that. And discipline committee is switched, and that will now be Mr. Bryant. So for the board, that's the update. I will be sitting still on Mid-Valley Mental Health Partnership and the Opioid Task Force. And MTSS will be Mrs. McCabe and Mrs. Barker, and we're going to see how that goes with two board members kind of observing, and as well, as long as that goes well, then we'll continue that, but that's going to be a kind of work in progress there. And then intergovernmental will be Mr. Manham and I until we get our feet wet a little bit, and then we'll kind of rediscuss as a board. I think that was everything. It was a lot of assigning and talking and a very long meeting. There was discussion about a joint meeting with the city council again. There was a request for information about video recording. So that's going to come back to the board at a future date. And we do not have a future meeting because it's going to be completely reconfigured. So that is the update for community relations. I do have a housing update. We did have a housing meeting, the first one since January, and my last one to you, Mr. McNally. You will now be sitting in on those. We left the Housing Commission. We had donated, well, not donated, we had allotted $57,000 from our St. Charles Housing Fund, which is about $700,000. In conjunction with the Kane County's fund, which is $200,000. So they could purchase a home in St. Charles and rehab it and then sell it at a loss, but allocate it for someone in low income. Unfortunately, they have not been able to find a house that fits those parameters, so we agreed to up our donation at this time to $75,000. So we're hoping by October they're going to find a house to flip. If not, we've allowed them to look into townhouses or condos. In the interim, we are very excited that on this Thursday, there is the groundbreaking for Anthony Place, which is the only housing that is being built for low income versus a fee in lieu of, which is what we've talked about in the past. So anytime there's a new construction in St. Charles, they can either do a fee in lieu of, which goes into this pot that I just talked about, or they can present housing or provide housing for low income. And so Shodine is the first one really to, in a long time, to provide housing units. So he's providing, I don't remember, 68, I think, or 70, somewhere in there, housing units in that development that's going in where the old St. Charles Mall is, which you guys probably know, next to Jewel. Anyone that's lived here a long time, it's where the old St. Charles Mall used to be. But so there's a whole unit that he's dedicating to low income, and it's actually going to be allocated for 55 and up. So that's pretty exciting for low income housing needs in St. Charles. So that's where we're at there. Does anyone have any questions about either those reports or the other two reports? I mean, we were here, I think we had committee of the whole for all three meetings this month, which was pretty intense, but I appreciate that. All right, anyone else before we move on? Okay, so can I have a motion for the first point of action, which is the St. Charles Educational Support Professionals Contract 2019 to 2022?
So moved.
Mrs. Fairgrieve.
Second.
Mr. Bryant. Before I hand the floor over to Mr. Moore, I just want to say a few things. I first want to thank our board member, Mrs. Heidi Fairgrieve, for the time that she dedicated to all the contract negotiations. Dr. Pearson, Mr. Moore, Dr. Chapman, Mrs. Jan Geyer, thank you all very much for and all your staff, I should say, for all your dedication and time. I want to thank the three unions headed by Tina Zucker, Mike Bartolone, and Joe Blomquist, and your teams and dedication, which I know you're going to introduce tonight. But it was a lot of time and dedication for everybody, hours and hours and hundreds and potentially thousands of hours. So on behalf of the board, we thank you for your time and dedication, everybody. So now I'm going to hand the floor to Mr. Moore. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It is definitely my pleasure to present to you three collective bargaining agreements tonight. We reached agreement with all three unions the week before Memorial Day. They are presented to you tonight in the order that the agreements were reached. So first we have the St. Charles Educational Support Professionals. That's our administrative assistants, teaching assistants, dean's assistants, speech-language pathologists, library assistants, and registered nurses. So let me introduce Tina Zucker, president of this association, who will introduce her team.
Thank you. I just wanted to say Chris Marbit was our lead negotiator, and this year we had some unusual things that we had to deal with, minimum wage going up and looking at all that, and the collaboration and the discussions and the professional development that we had discussed and are ready to figure out how we're going to get all that done. It was an amazing time. I've sat on other negotiations, but this was probably the best negotiations I've ever sat on. So if Chris would like to introduce...
If I can have our team members stand up when they're announced. Tracy Morrison, Tina Zucker, Alexia Monavon, Laura Anthony, Sherry Hovius, Cindy Dykus, Diane Markowski, Laura Anderson, Gina Wasidski, and Donna Holloway. Thank you for your endless efforts as part of the process. We would also like to publicly thank Mr. Moore, Dr. Chapman, Mrs. Galt, Mrs. Schuett, and Mr. Darnell for their time and commitment to the process. Are there any other support staff members that are in the audience? Any other SCSPs? Can you guys stand? And thank you to all of our members who are here and not here, who continue to spend countless hours making DO3 a wonderful place to work and learn. So thank you for your time.
I just want to echo those sentiments for every contract. It would not have happened without everyone's hard work and dedication working towards a united goal. So thank you for that. I don't know what that is. Okay, Mrs. Ratchford, the roll, please.
Mr. Bryant.
Yes.
Mrs. Fairfree.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McCabe.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Barker.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes. The motion passes. Thank you very much. May I have a motion for the St. Charles Transportation and Maintenance Contract 2019-2022?
So moved.
Mrs. Fairgreave.
Second.
Mrs. McCabe.
For St. Charles Transportation Maintenance, I'd like to invite Mike Bartolone, Association President. We settled with this association on May 22nd, the Wednesday prior to Memorial Day, after two bargaining sessions totaling roughly about 8 to 9 hours. Had some fantastic conversations, and will continue the high quality work that we do with our bus drivers, bus monitors, maintenance workers, custodians, mechanics, and Larry Spears, the mail driver.
Thank you very much. It was great. It was a lot of fun. We had our back and forths, our ups and downs, but everything worked out great. Our team was made up of bus drivers, Diana Meese, Tammy D'Amato, Sherry McDonald, Terry Coons. Diana Meese was our chief negotiator. We had a maintenance gentleman, Eric Hochschild. Ray Kalin was grounds. Julio Rubleras, he was head custodian at high school, and we had Roger Mercado, he was a head custodian at a junior high, and then we had a mechanic, Dave Coons, and then our mailman, Larry Spears. And I'd also like to thank our UNISERV director, who couldn't make it tonight, he's negotiating for Canelan, for all his help with questions, answers, and our situations. And also would like to thank the team, Mr. Baird, Seth Chapman, Mr. Moore, and Terry Prindall. She's not here. She's a transportation director. Everything went smooth and couldn't ask for anything better. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I would like to acknowledge that Ken Wallace, Andy Schultes, and Brian Byrne, the three managers from the facilities department, were also on the board team.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Baird. And I forgot to thank Dr. Galt earlier, so let's make sure we get her on record as a thanks, too. Mrs. Ratchford, the roll, please.
Mrs. Fairgreen.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McKay.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Barker.
Yes.
Mr. Bryant.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes, the motion passes. Thank you. Yay. Okay, may I have a motion for St. Charles Association, St. Charles Education Association contract 2019 through 2022, please?
So moved.
Mrs. Fairgrieve?
Second.
Mrs. Barker, thank you. Mr. Moore, the floor.
Yes, so we've been bargaining with the St. Charles Education Association since the first Monday in February. We met roughly once a week, a couple weeks twice, a couple weeks we didn't meet. So I think we totaled about 12 sessions, roughly 80 hours. We had lots of very productive conversations, some very challenging conversations, but ended up with an agreement that I think provides a number of benefits for our teachers, who we obviously rely on very heavily to educate our students, but also for our students. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. I'd like to invite Joe Blomquist, president of CEA, to the podium and allow him to introduce his team and say a few words, and then after that I'll introduce the board's team.
Thank you, and I would like to thank Mr. Moore and Mrs. Geyer and Dr. Chapman and Dr. Pearson for their leadership. I'm not gonna spoil the rest of the team. I'll let Mr. Moore introduce his team, but I want to echo his statements. It was a lot of hard work, but in the end, I believe that we are providing opportunities and supports for our students that will not only increase the already fantastic programs that we have here in District 303, but it will make our district a staple for other high-performing districts to follow in the future. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to my bargaining chair, John Connell, who will introduce the rest of our team.
Thank you. And I'm very grateful to my team that did the heavy lifting, most of whom are here this evening. From elementary level, Susie, and can you stand when I call you, please? From elementary level, Susie Shannell, Amy Geyer, Amy Kerber, Tracy Kluskowski. Two people from the middle school couldn't be with us here this evening. That's Jeff Otterby and Rick Wendell. But also from the middle school here tonight is Ryan Schilb. And from the high school, Amy Ekman, Jason Potter, Aaron Lindy, Kathleen Monaco, Sherry Hayes, and myself.
Representing the board, your bargaining chair, myself, Seth Chapman, Jan Geyer, Chris Belaskovitz, principal at Corin Elementary, over there, Nate Jarrett, principal at Anderson, Steve Morrill, principal at Thompson, Pam Jensen, director of instruction, she is on vacation today, Audra Christensen, also on vacation, Laurel Bergren, our human resources manager, and Ms. Fairgrieve joining us from the board.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other comments before we move on? Okay, Mrs. Rashford, the roll, please.
Mr. Manheim.
Abstain.
Mrs. McCabe?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Abstain.
Mrs. Barker?
Yes.
Mr. Bryant?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairfield?
Yes.
Ms. Weigel?
Yes. Motion passes 5. How do you say that?
5-0.
5-0. Okay. 5-0. Two abstentions. Thank you very much.
For your reference, we will post the agreements on the website tomorrow.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Thank you, everyone, for your hard work and dedication to the district. We appreciate it. And more importantly, so do our kids. If you want to stay, you're welcome to. If you want to leave, you're welcome to. I'm just saying.
And they're gone.
I'll give them a minute. I wasn't sure how to say that. I was supposed to say 7-0 on the first two. Sorry. I know you told me to do that.
That's okay. You're doing it.
Exactly. Okay. People are here. They can count. Okay, great. Down to item D. May I have a motion, please, for participation in the Child Nutrition Program for fiscal year 2019-2020?
So moved.
Mr. McNally?
Second.
Mrs. McCabe? Okay, so is there any discussion about this? This is for free and reduced lunch. This is an annual thing that we do. Does anyone have any questions or discussion on this point? No questions or discussion. Okay. The roll, please. Mrs. Rashford?
Mrs. McCabe?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Barker?
Yes.
Mr. Bryant?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairkreek?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Weibel?
Yes. Motion passes 7-0. All right. Thank you. Okay. Item E, Lincoln Elementary School Playgrounds Improvements. May I have a motion for that, please?
Slow move.
Thank you. Mr. Manheim?
Second.
Mrs. Fairgrave is second. Discussion.
I just had a quick question. This might be for Mr. Baird. Why the difference in cost, even with the cost sharing with the Park District, the Wasco, and this might go into F a little bit here, but why is there such a difference between the two playgrounds in costs?
The playground at Lincoln is just the northern playground. Usually it's two playgrounds that are replaced each time. The Wasco footprint is outside of St. Charles, and so they don't participate in Norton Creek with West Chicago. They don't participate with the Bell Graham, okay, or the Wasco, because that's in Kent and Wasco. So they don't participate in the
two playgrounds.
Correct. Now they do all of our inspections. Okay, they do all our inspections still and help maintain the equipment and help us order and do things because they did not do the cost share.
So to clarify your question, is there's only one unit being replaced at Lincoln and there's two units being replaced at Wasco?
With no share.
With no share, correct. Okay. Does that help?
Yep.
Okay. And just a reminder to the board, this is a safety requirement replacement on the regular five-year cap plan that Mr. Baird has always projected. Does anyone have any questions about that? No. Did you want to add anything else about that?
Just the 1996 was the time that Lincoln was replaced, way back when, and a lot of things have changed, and there's new codes and guidelines. So to your point, we try to keep those upgraded during inspections, so it's time.
Yep, gotcha. Okay. We're ready? All right. Ms. Retford, the roll, please.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Barker?
Yes.
Mr. Bryant?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairley?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCabe?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes. Motion passes 7-0. Okay, item F, Wasco Elementary School Playground Improvements. May I have a motion for that, please?
So move.
Mr. Manheim?
Second.
Mrs. Fairgreave? Is there any discussion on this? You asked the clarifying question earlier that may have helped. Anyone have any questions or discussion on this point? Nothing? All right. Mrs. Ratchford, the roll, please.
Mrs. Barker?
Yes.
Mr. Bryant?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairkreek?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCabe?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes. Motion passes 7-0. Okay. Item G, resolution to intervene property tax appeal board.
Slow move.
Mr. Manheim?
Second.
Mr. Bryant? Okay, to Mr. Manheim's point earlier, this was the PTAB item we were discussing during his business service meeting. Does anyone have any questions or concerns regarding this? No. It is easier when we all go to one meeting. It becomes a committee of the whole, and then there are no questions. Okay. Mrs. Ratchford, the roll, please.
Mr. Bryant?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairfield?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCabe?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Barker?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes. Okay, motion passes 7-0. Okay, okay. I suspect there will be discussion. Okay, H, ATS&R design work authorization for Haynes Building. May I have a motion for that, please?
Slow move.
Mr. Manheim?
Second.
Mr. McNally, thank you. So the reason why there may be discussion for this was at the time that we discussed this at Business Services, we did not have costs correlated to it. There is a handout for it, and I believe Dr. Pearson is going to jump in here as well.
Yeah, so you requested some information about your current contract with the architect related to projects that they complete for us in the district. I've provided you with a page from the contract that provides information about the sliding scale for fees associated with their work. You can see that anything under $1 million, we pay a flat 8.5% fee for work. Anything between $1 million and $5 million is 7.75%, and anything over $5 million is a 7% fee. You can also look, see in section 11.2.2 that there's information about how that fee is broken out over the length of the project. So there are actually five different phases that we work with an architect in planning for construction. The first phase is schematic design phase, which is 15%, and actually you've already had them complete some schematic work. That's those bubble drawings that you've seen that kind of give the breakdown of the age of the facility as well as information about the different sections of the building. That would still be completed. There's more to be done in that area should you choose to go forward with them with this work authorization. The second phase is that design development phase, which is 20% of the 7.75% of the project cost. Then there's the construction document phase, which is 40%, and then there's the hidden the bidding and negotiation phase, which is 5%, and then ultimately the construction phase, which is 20%. That totals 100%. Now, interestingly enough, they bill that at 90% of the construction cost estimate. So you can see I gave you a breakdown for this project. If this project was a $3.8 million project, it would be $3,020,000. At 7.75%, their total fees would be approximately $210,000. Right now, what we're asking is for you to authorize that schematic design phase and the design development phase, which total 35% of the project cost, and you can see that breakdown there. The schematic design is $31,000. The design development phase is $42,000. So that's in your email as well.
So how much of the schematic design have we paid out?
So far, we've actually paid $5,000. We paid a flat fee back in October for them to do some initial development. You can see here that they've estimated that they've completed about 20% of the work of schematic design process. So they would complete that and then do the design development phase. I did mention today to Mrs. Weibel that for the district to really be able to move forward in understanding the cost of the sharing of the facility that we have proposed with the library, as well as the park district, we're going to need some of these documents developed. We have to understand the cost differential between the demolition costs over a period of time. If we phase in the building, we need to understand what the cost would be for electrical upgrades. We need to understand what the cost would be for accessibility upgrades. We need to understand what the cost would be for the improvement to the restroom facilities, which the park district is interested in sharing those costs or paying those costs as they move into that portion of the building. So to be able to know what all of those costs are so that the board can make a decision about whether or not you want to move forward with the project, we need them to do some of this development work.
Okay. That's a lot to take in because we unfortunately didn't have this last week. Ms. McCabe, you had a question.
How long does it take to do the first part?
So it's my understanding, and Dr. Chapman, you can help me, they were anticipating being able to have much of this work done by the July Business Services meeting, which is at the end of the month, is that right?
By the 29th.
By the 29th of July.
So in the work authorization form, it does say that construction documents are anticipated to be for the fall of 2019, and that would be following the schematics in July. That would be something that we would request, or are they just going to deliver them through this work authorization?
We're phasing that, correct?
Yeah. We're able to, if at any point in time you're not satisfied, like so at the July meeting, if you said this is not what we're interested in, we would owe them the portion that Dr. Pearson just mentioned, the 35%, and we can end it right there. I hope that answers your question.
Okay.
Okay, before I call for a vote, are there any other questions or discussion you guys want to have on this?
If we were to go through with this and then change our minds, how much, if any, of this could we use on a future project?
Pretty much any of the documents that are created could be used at a later time. I mean, you would provide that to the architect that's interested in doing the project. I'm sure that architect would be wanting to update that information, but it wouldn't be anywhere near the same level of cost as you invest in this. We can hand those documents over.
So you're asking of ownership of documents? Yeah, so they belong to us.
They do, yeah.
I guess, in addition, you know, if we were to go a completely different direction with the building at a later point, would we have to go through this whole process again? I guess is my question.
It depends on what's included in the development phase. Right now, we're talking about accessibility, HVAC, mechanical systems, all of those things, and those would be things that you would want to be considering no matter what's done with the facility. So we're going to have information about what upgrades are needed and then also a timeline based on the information that we provide.
So is your question, if we were to go through with this and then decide to wait, I don't want to presume, if you were deciding to wait for a facility plan, would they sit for that time period? Is that what you're...
If we were to wait for a facility plan, if we just decided we don't want to go through with this, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, if we agree on this now, can we use this information for a future project if it's not exactly what we are in any of the options right now?
Okay, I was just wondering your thinking behind it. Okay. Okay, so, and does anyone have any comments about the breakdown of the, or questions about the breakdown of the costing in the email?
No. I just have a general comment that I want to make sure that people understand that we're doing this to get information so that we can make a sound decision. It seemed to me that there was some misunderstanding from some that this kind of meant we were definitely going in a direction. We're not. We're looking to see what we can do and really the feasibility of doing things this way. So I was in support of doing this for that reason, because I need more information to be able to make a sound decision myself.
And it's difficult to do that without knowing exactly what...
I want to know what something costs before I decide to buy it.
Yeah.
Or decide not to buy it. And it really comes down to that. And I need to know what, you know, really feasibility, is this going to be a good plan? And we can... Knowing the figures is an important part of making that decision. So when you do your cost-benefit analysis, you need to know the cost.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And to echo that, it also helps, it'll help administration talk to the library as well to find out what costs will be needed to lease that space as well, or remodel that space, or whatever's going to be needed. So I think it's an important tool that'll be used for discussions with the library district as well as the park district just going forward.
Okay, I guess my only question was on the description of services that was the permanent accommodations of 303 offices, transition program, Northeast Academy. I'm just not sure if we're, you know, the way they said permanent, we're just not all on that same page yet. I'm not sure. Does that make sense or no?
I'm not sure I understand.
The permanent accommodations of those places. I mean, I guess that's what they'll be drawing it for, but I just feel like there's still things open to interpretation, I guess, is my question.
I think the reason they wrote that paragraph that way was just to distinguish between the fact that the library is interested in using it only as a temporary location, and that the other spaces in the building would be used as permanent locations for district programs. We are asking them to draw these specific program spaces, but to your point, Mr. Bryan, the district could say, we don't want to use it for this program, but they're going to bring us those plans. But I think for that purpose, it was to distinguish between temporary use for the library
and I understand permanent use for district. Okay, thank you. All right.
Thanks for clarifying that. I didn't know what you were asking. So
I was
now
just wondering the word
I understand
what
a little
the
better.
Context was of it.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions before we move forward? Okay, good to go. Ms. Rushford, the roll, please.
Mrs. Faircreeve.
excuse me, no. And that's because I don't think it really fits with our master facility plan development strategy.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McKay.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Barker.
Yes.
Mr. Brain.
Yes.
Ms. Weigel.
Yes. Motion passes 6-1. All right. All right, moving forward. Resolution authorizing the destruction of certain verbatim records of closed board meetings. May I have a motion for that, please?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Mrs. McCabe and Mr. McNally, thank you. Any discussion or questions on this?
Usually over the last 2 years, you've provided clarification so that the public understands that. I'm assuming that's why you provided the clarification. There might be some people out there that don't know, so perhaps you can let them know what's being destroyed.
Okay, so why don't you do it this time?
It's just all it really is yeah. Closed session, things that have occurred that are in closed session that are no longer open
right.
items, things we need.
For the last 18 months.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And it's a legislative rule.
Right.
And so it is kind of germane to work.
Yeah, I think this is one of those items that I think people misunderstand. They assume that we're somehow destroying documents that, and that's not what's being done. This is a standard procedure in probably every board everywhere, so.
Mm-hmm. And it's the physical recording.
Yes.
Thank you. Anybody else? Do the new members have any questions on this one? These can be difficult sometimes.
Well, I just want to make sure, and I don't know if I heard it said, that there are still notes.
Correct.
Just because the verbatim is there, it doesn't mean it's all gone.
Yes, correct. There are still notes and minutes. Anybody else? Okay, Mrs. Ratch for the roll, please.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McCabe.
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Barker?
Yes.
Mr. Bryant?
Yes.
Mrs. Faircreeve?
Yes.
Ms. Weigel?
Yes. Motion passes 7-0. Okay. 6-month review of closed session minutes pursuant to the Open Meetings Act. May I have a motion for J, please?
So moved.
Mrs. McCabe?
Second.
Am I losing you guys, Mr. McNally? And these are specific dates that were released because they do not contain confidential pieces to students or personnel or other such items. They will be released to the public. So do I have any discussion or questions? Nope. Okay, the roll, please, Ms. Rashford.
Mrs. McCabe.
Yes.
Mr. McNeil.
Yes.
Mrs. Barker?
Yes.
Mr. Bryant?
Yes.
Mrs. Faircreeve?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Ms. Weigel?
Yes. Motion passes 7-0. Okay. Thank you very much thank you, Board, for your patience and all those action items and your participation. I appreciate that. Moving on to the consent agenda. Is there anything that you'd like to have pulled from the consent agenda? Nothing. Okay. May I have a motion for the consent agenda, please?
So moved.
Mr. Bryant and Mr. McNally. Mrs. Ratchford, the roll.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Barker?
Yes.
Mr. Bryant?
Yes.
Mrs. Faircreeve?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCabe?
Yes.
Ms. Weigel?
Yes. Consent agenda passes. Thank you. Okay. And there was a lot on that. Thank you very much for that. We literally went A to Z on that. Sorry, that made me laugh for a minute. Okay. Moving on. Hang on, I'm going to have to scroll up. Do you have a copy of the FOIA handy or no? Do you know how many FOIAs there were?
I could
or I'm going to have to scroll.
Oh, hang on. I think I started to populate my minutes.
Here, let me go back. Sorry, gang. Hang tight. Not.
I think it's four.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
For information, we had four Freedom of Information Acts. There's a financial report for 303 and a financial report for Mid Valley on there. Do we have any new business? You guys all look tired. I know, sorry. Okay, there's no new business. Thank you very much. Is there any citizen comments for closing? Closing citizen comments? Anybody?
No.
No closing citizen comments. Okay, this board is very excited. This is the first board meeting we've had with no closed session in a very, very long time. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Mr. McNally.
Second.
Mrs. McCabe. Do roll, right?
Yeah, we can.
Mrs. Rashford, the roll. We'll just do roll.
Mrs. Barker.
Yes.
Mr. Bryant.
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreath.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McCabe.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Ms. Whitelaw.
Yes. Thank you very much.